Let me invite you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We are looking at 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 4 through 10. As we turn our attention to a study of God's Word this evening, and as we focus our attention on this section of Scripture, we are looking at the spiritual privileges that we have in Christ Jesus. As I was thinking about the songs that Brother Don led us in, and as I was meditating upon some of the things that Brother Sam mentioned in his prayer, I'm reminded that we serve such a great and awesome and kind and merciful God. And God never ceases to bless His people. I want you to really think about that tonight as we continue our study looking at the spiritual privileges that we have in Christ Jesus. Again, God never ceases to bless His people. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, we learn that God knows His people. He knows us by our very name. Jesus said that if we confess Him before our Father, He will confess our name before His Heavenly Father. He knows our name. And we see in Psalm 84 verse 11, no good thing will He withhold from them that walketh uprightly. God is just looking for an opportunity to pour out a blessing upon His people. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, essentially Paul is talking about the same things that Peter is talking about when he says in Ephesians 1 verse 3 that all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. Paul, what spiritual blessings do we have in Christ Jesus? All you have to do is read Ephesians chapter 1. We are God's adopted children. I know a lot about adoption. I was adopted by my parents, and I'm thankful for that. It gives me some insight into what adoption is all about. But do you realize, spiritually speaking, we are God's adopted children? That's a privilege. That's a blessing that we have in Christ Jesus to belong to God, to call Him our Father, to be His sons and His daughters. You continue to study Ephesians chapter 1. Paul doesn't stop with this idea of adoption. He then goes on and he talks about redemption. And what a powerful word to understand. What it means to be redeemed, to be bought back. You see, we've all sold ourselves to work evil in the sight of the Lord like Ahab did. That's what the Scriptures say about Ahab. He worked evil in the sight of the Lord. He sold himself. Well, because of sin, we've all have sold ourselves to work evil. We've all sinned, but God's redeemed us. Jesus Christ paid the price for our redemption. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, "For ye were bought with a price." And so just from the book of Ephesians chapter 1, we read about those blessings, those privileges. And all of this, as we've been emphasizing, is predicated upon our willingness to come to Him. That's why Jesus offers that beautiful invitation in Matthew 11 verse 28 when He says, "Come, come unto Me all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Well, as we turn our attention to 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse number 4 and 5, what are those privileges that Peter talks about? Well, the first privilege that we noted from verse 4 and also verse 5 is union. We have union with the Lord, and as you'll notice, the Apostle Peter's words, Peter says that Christ is a living stone. And he goes on to describe us. He describes that union that we have with the Lord. Christ is a living stone. Precious indeed. Verse 5, Peter says, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house." You see, every Christian is a part of God's spiritual house. And emphasize that spiritual house. No longer does God dwell in His physical temple like He did under the old law. God dwelt in the tabernacle. That's where His presence was. Now His presence is with His people, and His people make up His spiritual house. Again, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, again, every Christian, every stone is perfectly shaped, perfectly fitted to build God's spiritual house. Jesus Christ being that chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ being that sure foundation, as we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. Again, all of these things speak of the union that we have with our Lord. That's a spiritual privilege that belongs to us, to be a part of God's spiritual house where God dwells among His people. But then we introduced a second privilege from verse number 5. Not only do we make up God's spiritual house, but we see also in verse 5 that we have access to God because we are a part of God's holy priesthood. We have access again to God because Peter says we are God's holy priesthood. Priesthood. And Peter talks about that royal priesthood also in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. You see, under the new covenant, every New Testament Christian is part of God's priesthood. God's priesthood under the new covenant is made up of redeemed people. And that's one of the most fascinating truths that we learn in the New Testament. And we can learn so much from the priesthood under the old law. In fact, as I mentioned last week, there are three major sections that talk about God's priesthood under the old covenant. These three sections could be found in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 28 and 29. Also Leviticus chapter 8 and 9, and then Malachi chapter 2. Now there are many more verses that we can look at to consider the priesthood of the Levitical system, but those three sections entail so much information about God's Old Testament priest. But as we look at those three sections, there are at least 10 characteristics, believe me, at least 10 characteristics of Old Testament priesthood that we can see that can give us a better understanding of what it means to be a part of God's priesthood. I believe those characteristics really help us understand the nature of priesthood. And if we're a Christian, this is something that we should be interested in. Because as a Christian, I am a part of that priesthood. And I need to understand what it means to be a priest. Last week, we looked at three characteristics. This evening, we're going to look at seven more. But you remember the first three? The priests under the Levitical system were chosen by God, number one. You see, being a priest is an elect privilege. And that's what Peter talks about at the beginning of this epistle in verse 2. We are, as God's priesthood, we are a part of the elect. We need to understand the doctrine of election and we need to understand how God elects. But being a priest is an elect privilege. And so, number one, we have been chosen by God. Number two, the second characteristic that we notice, that the priest under the old covenant were cleansed. You and I, as God's priest, we have been cleansed. not by the blood of bulls and goats that cannot take away the sins of the world, Hebrews 10 verse 4, but we've been redeemed, we've been cleansed, we have been washed by the very blood of Jesus. As the Apostle John says about Jesus in Revelation 1 verse 5, unto Him that loved us and washed away our sins in His own blood. I mentioned the book of Ephesians at the beginning of our lesson. In Ephesians 1 verse 7, we have redemption through that blood, the forgiveness of sins. We have peace with God through that blood, Colossians 1 verse number 20. And so we're thankful for the power that's in the blood of Christ that cleanses us, that washes us, that makes us whole. Though your sins be as scarlet because of the blood, they shall be as white as snow. And we're thankful for the cleansing, the forgiveness that we find in Christ Jesus. But then a third characteristic that we notice from the Old Testament concerning God's priesthood was priests under the Old Covenant were clothed. There were certain garments that they were to wear. And again, we're just highlighting some of these characteristics that help us understand the nature of priesthood. And there are many lessons that we can learn from that. Again, God's priests under the Old Covenant were clothed. God's priests under the New Covenant are clothed. And we read about those spiritual garments, if you please, in Ephesians chapter 4, Colossians chapter 3. You remember where Paul talks about there's a putting off of things and there's a putting on? And Paul lists out those things in Colossians chapter 3, those spiritual garments that we are to clothe ourselves with. Things like love and mercy and kindness. You see, when people under the Old Covenant saw God's priesthood, they would be able to identify God's priesthood by their attire, by what they wore. The same is true today under the New Covenant. People should identify who we are as God's priesthood by the garments. You see that? By what we wear, by how we live our lives. It should be obvious that we're not of the world. It should be obvious that we belong to God. That we are part of God's priesthood. And being a priest is a holy thing. And we should strive to live out holiness in our life. But notice as we pick up on our lesson tonight, the fourth characteristic of priesthood. Priests were anointed. Now you may want to mark your spot here in 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to take you back to Leviticus chapter 8. And we're just going to highlight some of these verses from the Old Testament that characterized God's priest under the Old Covenant. In Leviticus chapter 8, I want to look at verse number 12. And we looked at this last week. We see that the priests were, in verse 6, they were washed and then they were clothed. But drop down to Leviticus chapter 8, verse number, we'll pick it up in verse 10. And Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein and sanctified them. Notice that connection. They were anointed and they were sanctified. Those are two key terms that are important here. In verse 11, Moses, he sprinkled thereof upon the altar seven times and anointed the altar and all his vessels, both the laver and his foot to sanctify them. And he poured of the anointing upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. Now just in those three verses, we see again that terminology of that anointing oil. Moses anointed everything in the tabernacle. He anointed Aaron's head. And as he anointed the things that were in the tabernacle, and as he anointed Aaron's head, again by anointing those things and by anointing him, they were sanctified. There's a connection in that. Now, if you would, go over to the book of 1 John chapter 1. And we see how this helps us understand priesthood under the new covenant. Again, priests under the old covenant were anointed. Priests under the new covenant are anointed. But we're not anointed with oil like the priest under the old covenant. No, here in 1 John chapter 2, we learn how one is anointed. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse number 20. The Apostle John says, "But ye have an unction," King James, other translations, "but ye have an anointing from," listen to it, "the Holy One, and ye know all things." John then will go and describe that anointing that they received from the Holy Spirit. You can drop down to verse number 27. "But the anointing," John says, remember writing to Christians, "but the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teacheth you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him." The anointing that we receive under the new covenant comes through the anointing of God's Word. Now remember, as the Apostle John is writing these Christians, they didn't have the completed Word. They received that Word through the Holy Spirit, going back to verse number 20. That's why John says, "The anointing that you have received comes from the Holy One." The Holy One, the Holy Spirit, guided the apostles into all truth, and that which the apostles received by inspiration was preached to people. And thus they received the Word of God through the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Apostle Peter, as we noted earlier, in 1 Peter 1 verse 22 says, "You have purified your souls and obeying the truth," listen to it, "through the Spirit." You obey the truth, the Word of God, through the Spirit, because the Spirit revealed the Word of God. Well, we have that which the Holy Spirit reveals. And so when we obey that Word, we are anointed by that Word. We are sanctified by that Word. Remember the connection we noticed between the anointing and sanctification there in Leviticus chapter 8? Thus we learn in John 17, verse 17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them through Thy Word. Thy Word is truth." It's so important as God's priesthood to follow the truth of God's Word. You see, we're not dependent upon human wisdom as God's priesthood. We're dependent upon the Word of God. We obeyed that Word, and that Word sanctified us. And as we continue to obey that Word continues to set us apart. Again, we don't put our faith and trust in the wisdom of men. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 5, the Apostle Paul, writing brethren at Corinth, said, "Don't put your faith in the wisdom of men. You put your faith in the power of God. You put your faith in what the Word of God teaches you." And so we see that that anointing, that sanctification that we receive under the new covenant as God's priesthood. And that comes through obeying the Word of God. But notice the fifth characteristic of priesthood. The fifth characteristic of priesthood is that the priests were prepared for service. They were prepared for service. Let's go back to the book of Leviticus, and you'll see this in Leviticus chapter 8. The things that we're mentioning, you will see throughout the Old Testament. The writers of the Old Testament mention these things numerous of times, but we're just highlighting these things, noting these characteristics and seeing how they can help us understand the nature of what it means to be a part of God's priesthood under the new covenant. Okay? As we go back to Leviticus chapter 8, notice verse 33. We see again that they were washed, they were clothed, they were anointed. We see that sacrifices were offered, they were consecrated. But drop down to verse number 33 and notice this point. And ye shall not go out of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Notice this. In 7 days, until the 7 days of your consecration be at the end, for 7 days shall he consecrate you. Those days are symbolic of spiritual readiness, of spiritual preparedness. Again, they were to stay in the tabernacle for 7 days as they prepared themselves to serve as God's priest. The point, the characteristic that we need to understand as God's priesthood is there is a certain amount of time that it takes to really understand what it means to be a part of God's priesthood. That is, we have to prepare ourselves. You remember 1 Peter 3 verse 15? We're to sanctify the Lord our God, the Lord God in our hearts, and we're to be ready to give answer. You see, we have to be prepared. And we prepare ourselves as God's priesthood by growing in an understanding of God's Word. That's why Jesus said that after we become a priest, after we're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the remission of our sins, the second part of the Great Commission teaches us that we are to continue to teach individuals. We are to continue to teach people so that they will be prepared for service. And we talked about that service this morning in our lesson. You see, there's something to do for everyone. There is something for everyone to do in the kingdom of God. And we need to understand that as God's priesthood. But I have to prepare myself. We see the priest under the old covenant had to prepare themselves. Priests under the new covenant have to prepare themselves. We have to make those sacrifices. We have to understand what it means to be a priest. And we need to know how to function as a priest. We have duties. We have responsibilities. We'll talk about those responsibilities and those duties next week. But again, you see that there's a certain amount of preparedness that we must strive to exhibit, that we must strive to demonstrate, that we must strive to meet in order to function as God's priesthood. We see that under the Old Covenant. We also see it under the New Covenant. Notice the sixth characteristic of priesthood. The sixth characteristic of priesthood that we see in the Old Testament is that the priests were ordained to obedience. God's priesthood were to be obedient to His laws. Now go back, if you would, to the book of Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter 10, we read a familiar story about Nadab and Abihu. You remember they offered strange fire? Remember Aaron was the high priest. Nadab and Abihu served as priests, and they offered strange fire to God. Now if you write in your Bible by Leviticus chapter 10, you might write down Exodus chapter 30 verse 9. In Exodus chapter 30 verse 9, God warned His priest about offering strange fire, simply something without authority. And then you might want to write down Leviticus chapter 16 verse 12. In Leviticus 16, verse 12, we see where the priests were to get this fire. They were to take this fire from the altar. But when we come to Leviticus chapter 10, it says in verse number 1 that Nadab and Abihu, notice the language, offered strange fire before the Lord. Something that wasn't authorized. And yet, these are simple lessons, but lessons that are so important, so foundational to understanding the nature of priesthood. You see, as God's priesthood, we are to be obedient. We have to respect authority. as God's priest, we just can't do anything that we want to do. We can't just offer up any spiritual sacrifice that we want to offer up. You see, the Apostle Peter, as I said earlier in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, he's going to mention those spiritual sacrifices that we're to offer up to God. That's going to be the third privilege that we'll be talking about next week. Again, we have union with the Lord, we have access to the Lord, and we have the spiritual privilege of offering up spiritual sacrifices. Well, we learn from Nadab and Abihu that what we offer up to the Lord matters. That is, we have to have authority for what we practice as God's priesthood. The Apostle Paul would say in Colossians 3, verse number 17, "For whatsoever you do in word or deed," notice this, "do all in the name of the Lord." What does that mean, to do all in the name of the Lord? By the authority of God. So many misunderstand authority. So many fail to understand how we establish biblical authority. If somebody was to ask you, what does authority, Bible authority, mean? And how do you establish Bible authority? This is what we emphasize to the religious world. We have to have authority for what we practice. That's why we worship the way that we do. We don't use instruments. We partake of the Lord's Supper, as you see, every first day of the week. We pray to our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus Christ. We believe that baptism is essential unto salvation. Now my question is, are we just making this up? Or do we study God's Word and do we establish Bible authority? Well, we study God's Word and we establish Bible authority, and that's something that we need to understand as God's priesthood. We have to respect God's authority. And we have to live and we have to serve within that authority. And His Word gives us those guidelines. His Word gives us those barriers, and we have to have a deep, deep respect for the authority of God as God's priesthood. You see, the lesson that we learn here in Leviticus chapter 10, from here on out, serves as a great example of Bible authority. And let me encourage you to study this and to really grasp what authority is and how to establish authority. We establish authority through direct command. We can establish authority by divine example. But we can also establish authority through necessary inference. So that's one that's interesting to look at and to study. But that's how we establish Bible authority. We also, here's another one, and this is a good one. We establish Bible authority through the silence of Scriptures. For example, we mention singing. As we worship God, we sing. We don't use instruments. Why? Because God in Ephesians 5 verse 19 says, "I want you to sing, and I want you to make melody with your heart." You see, God identified the instrument, the heart that we are to use. But He says, "I want you to sing." Do you realize that God doesn't have to say, "I don't want you to use the guitar. I don't want you to use the drum. I don't want you to use any mechanical instrument"? Do you know why God doesn't have to go through every little thing? Because He says, "I want you to sing." That's the law of exclusion, you see. That excludes everything else. You remember when God told Noah to build the ark? You remember God specified to Noah how to build the ark. "Noah, I want you to build the ark out of gopher wood." Again, God didn't have to say, "Don't use cedar, don't use oak, don't use mesquite." "Noah, I want you to use gopher wood." And that excludes everything else. The law of exclusion. Again, that's how we establish Bible authority. And authority is something that we must grasp. It's something that we must understand if we're going to serve as God's priesthood under the new covenant. Now let's turn to the book of Malachi. I'm going to show you where that's at. Go to the book of Matthew. Turn back to one book and you will be in the book of Malachi. Last book in the Old Testament. Now as you look at Malachi chapter 2, our last few points are all going to come from Malachi chapter 2. As you look at Malachi chapter 2, things had gotten pretty bad with the people of God. They were basically offering blind sacrifices to God. The priests no longer knew the Word of God. They weren't teaching the law. They complained about serving God. Again, we're talking about God's priesthood. In Malachi 3 verse 14, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it? You know, it's sad when people can come to that point, but they do. Just like the priest under the old covenant, they came to that point. It's vain to serve God. This is useless. I'm wasting my time. And what profit is it? Well, the priest had forgotten what really mattered. And what you're going to see here in Malachi chapter 2 is very important if we're going to understand priesthood. We see the seventh characteristic beginning around verse number 6. Priests under the old covenant were to have a high regard for the Word of God. Listen to what it says in verse number 6. The law of truth was in his mouth. Now I want you to notice the context. God is speaking to his rebellious priesthood at this time. But what he's doing is he's looking back in Old Testament history and he's talking about his priesthood at one time when they were faithful. At one time, the Levitical priesthood was faithful to God, and when they were faithful, they had a high regard for the Word of God. It says the law of truth was in his mouth. They were faithful to that Word. They studied that Word, and that characteristic can help us understand the nature of priesthood even under the New Covenant. You see, if we're going to be God's priesthood, we have to have a high regard for the Word of God. And the only way that we can have a high regard for the Word of God is to study the Word, to know the Word, to have a spiritual appetite for the Word of God. In Matthew 5 verse 6, Jesus said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness." In Psalm 119, 172, we learn that all of God's commandments are righteousness. Again, if we're going to be a priest under the new covenant, we have to really fall in love with God's Word. That means we're going to study God's Word. We're going to do more than daily Bible reading. I think sometimes, and you've heard this from me before, I think sometimes we have hindered ourselves spiritually speaking because we emphasize reading programs and we emphasize that if we're just reading 3 chapters a day, you know, we're doing enough. Friends, there is so much more than just reading God's Word. That's where it starts. And we need to be on a reading program. We need to read God's Word every day. But notice these 3 points are emphasized in God's Word. We're to read the Word. We are to study the Word. And we are to meditate upon the Word. All 3 of those are important. You see, when it comes to knowing God's Word, we need to get beneath the surface. If we just read 3 chapters a day, we're going to never get below the surface into the meat of God's Word. You realize that was a problem with the children of God in Hebrews chapter 5, 11 through 14. They had been Christians for 20 or 30 years, and the writer of Hebrews says that you're on the milk of God's Word and not meat. And they weren't able to discern between good and evil. Friends, as God's priest, if we have a high regard for the Word of God, we're going to be feasting. We're going to be chewing on the meat of God's Word. We're going to meditate. We're going to study 2 Timothy 2. We're going to read God's Word every day. All of those things are important. And as we study, as we read, as we meditate, it will develop that spiritual appetite in God's Word. Notice the 8th characteristic that you see in verse number 6. The priest under the old covenant, they walked with God. You see, as God's priesthood under the new covenant, if we're going to be a faithful priest, we have to learn to walk with God. In Genesis chapter 5, you read about those individuals who lived and died, the first genealogy that we see there in the book of Genesis. And it says this about Enoch. He walked with God. You know, that's one of the greatest things somebody can ever say about an individual. I hope if somebody was ever to say anything about me that was noteworthy, I hope that's what they say. He walked with God. That should describe our life. We should learn to walk with God. And Amos 3 verse 3, a great Old Testament passage, can two walk together except they be agreed? Listen, if we're going to be in agreement with God, we need to learn to walk with God. And listen, God has given us His Word so that we can see what is pleasing in His eyes. So that we can walk with Him. And listen, when we walk with God, the point is this, we're going to draw near to God. The priests under the old covenant that were faithful, they were drawing near to God by walking with God. As priests under the new covenant, when we walk with God, we're going to draw near to God. And what does James 4, 7 through 8 tell us? When we draw near to God, listen, He will draw near to you. I want God to draw near to me. I want God to draw near to you. But we have to listen to God. We have to invite God into our lives and learn to walk with God. Notice as you go back to Malachi chapter 2, still in verse number 6, we see the ninth characteristic. We see that priests under the old covenant had a great impact, listen to it, on sinners. He walked with me in peace and equity, and listen, and did turn many away from iniquity. They turned many away from iniquity. I hope as God's priest under the new covenant, I hope we are a magnet for sinners. I hope we draw sinners to the assembly by the way that we live, by the kindness and the compassion that we show them. Do you see, as we look at our Lord's life as our high priest, we see that Jesus welcomes sinners. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Go ye and learn what this means, Jesus said. I haven't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And do you realize that that's one of the reasons why the Pharisees hated Him so much? Because He ate with sinners. If we understand priesthood, we're going to attract sinners. We're going to reach out to sinners. We're going to welcome sinners. We're going to invite sinners. And we're going to teach them the ways of the Lord. Friends, that's what it means to be a priest. And notice the tenth characteristic there in verse number 7. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord. That's the tenth characteristic that we see here in these sections. Again, the priest under the old law served as God's messengers. As priests under the new covenant, we are God's messengers. God has given us a mission to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. We refer to that as our marching orders. The world needs to hear the good news of the gospel. They need to hear the word of the Lord. And God has placed that responsibility upon His priesthood. Aren't you grateful for the privilege of being a high priest under the new covenant? But I hope from our lesson from last week and even tonight, we understand the nature of priesthood and what it really means to serve as God's priest, because it is a wonderful privilege that we have in Christ Jesus to be able to have access to God. All of these things we talked about tonight can make a huge difference in our own lives and also the lives of others. Tonight, if we can encourage you, spiritually speaking, in any way, to be a better priest for God, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we